If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
It's over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network, here's Charlie Remigliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remigliotis here at the United Center. The Blackhawks fall to the Vegas Golden Knights 5-3. A very lively crowd here in Chicago today on this fine Friday night. Unfortunately, as I turn to my right and bring in Troy Murray, the Ryan Donato first career NHL hat trick is spoiled by Vegas, who got one late in the third period on the power play, and the Hawks weren't able to capitalize on the 6-on-5 opportunity.
Wicked great game there by Ryan Donato. he was really good in this game. And you know what? I tell you what, I mean, Vegas is a really good team. And I thought the Hawks, you know, battled them hard. 5-3 is the score, but it was 3-3, you know, until late when Teravainen, you know, took the penalty. And the Golden Knights able to capitalize on their power play. They were 1-for-2 tonight. But other than that, I mean, I thought 5-on-5, they played well. They did so many good things in this game defensively that they had struggled with. They limited the opportunities. Still shots on goal pretty good as far as against 22. Vegas is an experienced team, and they were able to take advantage of the opportunity when it arose late in the third period. And, you know, unfortunately for the Blackhawks, empty net goals have been ugly this season. I think it was, what did you say, John? 22-6 is where it is right now. I mean, and, it, you know, if you look at into, we've talked about this before, the plus minus that factors into the empty net. You know, Connor Bedard going into the third period was +3 in this game. And he was on the ice for one of the even strength goals, and then he's out there for the empty net goal as well. So, you know, a good night in the plus minus ends up being a +1. So you still take that. But, you know, kind of deceiving a lot of these scores with the empty net goals that the opposition have scored this season against the Hawks, which is good because they've been in games, but they can't find a way to get across that finish line.
What else can we say about Ryan Donato? It's funny, John and I were joking at the end of the first intermission. We're like, oh, will Donato hit 30 goals this season after getting his 26th to open up the period? And then you joke around in the middle of the second period. He might get 30 in this game tonight. I mean, 30 goals, 60 points. I mean, it looks like he's going to hit those marks. Just an incredible season for Ryan Donato that kind of culminates in his first career hat trick tonight.
Yeah, and he now leads the team in points. He bounced ahead. What did Teravainen get? Sorry, before I get a little bit ahead of myself here. Teravainen didn't have anything.
Yeah.
So coming into the game, both Bedard and Teravainen had 56 points, and Donato was one behind him at 55, so he jumps ahead. Bedard picks up an assist in this game. So he's in second spot. But for Ryan Donato, I mean, you said it. I mean, boy, what a season he has had. And you look at his line here, his stat line, 3 goals +1, almost 20 minutes of ice time. He had 4 shots. 3 were blocked. 1 missed the net. And he won all 7 of his faceoffs, and a couple of those critical at the end of the third period with the goaltender on the bench. That's a pretty good game. And for, you know, some guys that go into a slump, you know, Ryan Donato, you got 3 goals in the first 2 periods tonight. I mean, and I'm not saying he was in a slump, but, you know, I mean, guys struggle to find the back of the net. Like Teravainen, you know, was one of those guys that he'd gone now 11 games without a goal.
Right.
And, you know, so, but good things happen to those guys who work hard and put in the effort. And I always kind of equate it to doing a test in school, where if you don't do your homework, if you don't study, how do you expect to do well on the test?
Why are you calling me out?
Why am I looking at you? Well, I don't know. But do you know what I mean by that?
Yep.
Is like the preparation is how hard you work in the off season, how much effort you put into practice, to, you know, your nutrition, everything. And Donato is just one of those guys that, you know, he does everything at a high level to prepare himself to give him the best opportunity to succeed. And this year, it's just been off the charts how well he has played and how consistent he has been all season long.
I mean, that's exactly why Blackhawks general manager Kyle Davidson drew a hard line in the sand at the trade deadline and said, if we're not getting a first-round pick for him, he's staying with us because he's more valuable to us if we're not getting that high-end package because of the impact that he made on a game like
that. Yeah, and I really have a lot of respect for Kyle. I mean, you know, the Hawks are kind of in a different situation. They've got so much, you know, draft capital and prospects, you know, coming up that, you know, they didn't need a second or a third-round pick. And just to say, well, you know, you got to trade Ryan Donato because everybody's looking for Ryan Donato, well, I'm glad that he drew that line and said, you know, here's where, you know, here's the cutoff line. And I think everybody's happy that he's still here. He's happy that he's still here. After the trade deadline, he went into a little bit of a slump there. Yeah. And maybe just, you know, there was so much going on in his head, you know, prior to that, that once you got past the trade deadline and you're still with the Blackhawks, you know, maybe a sigh of relief and you kind of just everything drains away from you for a little bit. But that focus is certainly back now. And, you know, I'm glad that Kyle Davidson just didn't feel the pressure that, well, everybody thinks they're going to trade Ryan Donato and just trade him, you know, because a lot of times, and we've talked about this before, Charlie, you get rid of a player like that. Well, next year you're looking for that player.
Right.
And you had him. But it all factors in to where the Blackhawks are. They've got lots of draft picks. They don't need draft picks. And, you know, if they were trying to scrape up the opportunity to get a second-round pick because you didn't have one, maybe you make the deal at the trade deadline if that was out there. I don't know. But I'm glad that he's here, and I'm sure he would have liked to have won this game and got his first career hat trick rather than, you know, losing it to Vegas. But what a performance by him.
Yeah, the only thing, I'm a tad surprised that both sides haven't been able to agree on an extension yet, because it sounds like Ryan wants to stay here. He's certainly made that known. But if you're Ryan's agent, you're probably, you know, upticking the number because he can do things like this. And so I would still be surprised if an extension did not get done between Donato and the Blackhawks. I think I was hoping that it would come sooner, right after the deadline, just because of the marriage. It just seems like it's a perfect fit for both sides.
Yeah, and Ryan's, you know, at 28 years of age, he's earned the right to become a free agent if he so chooses. If the deal's not right, he's going to get a good deal wherever he is, whether it's with Chicago. The only thing is, and this is not a knock, this is just kind of a fact, that you don't want to pay a player off a career year like this where it's really kind of gone off the charts.
Right.
If you know, if you're putting up these numbers throughout your whole career, then you kind of know where you are. You know, if you turn around and you look at his big body of work, this is kind of one off. And do you pay him for the one off, or do you try and find some common ground, which is what I would imagine is where they're at right now. Where's the common ground? But if Donato wants to get the most out of it, probably goes as an unrestricted free agent. And you know, again, I wouldn't fault him for doing that. He's put himself in his position. He's got to think about his family and get the best deal. And maybe this next deal is a deal that puts him over the top for his retirement after his career in hockey. So a tough decision, but they want to come to a fair deal. And, you know, Davidson knows that he's going to have to, you know, pay him some money to keep him. And Donato knows, but at the same time, you know, Donato doesn't want to price himself out of a situation where he's maybe very comfortable in.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like he wants to squeeze every last dollar. I think he just wants to be kind of paid around.
That's what I'm saying. I think they'll find the middle ground there,
right.
But, you know, where is that? But, they, you know, they've got other things to worry about right now. And, you know, once Donato was here, they have him until July 1st to make, you know, some kind of a deal happen. And I would imagine they'll get it done.
Kevin Korchinski was recalled by the Blackhawks yesterday, played in his first game since the call-up in December. He had no points in the first call-up over a nine-game stretch. What did you think about Korchinski's game? I think he led all skaters in ice time through the first period, but thoughts on his overall game tonight?
Well, when you're watching the game, what did he do that stuck out in your mind?
I mean, his skating is evident, and he didn't look. I mean, there was that play on the goal against that he did pinch up in the neutral zone, but I didn't. Skating is pretty evident.
Okay. Well, okay. Answer.
I don't do well with those answers because it feels like you're looking for a specific answer, and I'm like, all right, what is Troy thinking?
Well, I'm trying to lead you into my answer to my question.
Because I can give you a raw answer, but I'm trying to think of the Troy answer.
Did he
answer.
Do anything amazing offensively in this game?
I didn't notice that, no.
Other than that one play, did you recognize him in his own end of the ice making a ton of mistakes?
No.
Or a lot of mistakes?
No.
There's your answer right there. He was
not noticeable in a good way.
Before, you had it one way or the other.
Right.
And that's what they've liked in his game in Rockford. He's settled it down where he's learning to pick his fights. And in this game, I thought defensively he was much more aware of his responsibilities than what we've seen in the past. And he knows, and the Hawks know, that he does have that offensive ability. But where he needs to improve the game, and the offensive side of it will come once he gets used to the league, but where he needs to be better, where Lefshinov needs to be better, is how they play in their own end of the ice. And it's the toughest position to play as a young guy coming up, other than goaltending. So I thought that just for the fact that he didn't stick out, and I watched him, didn't, in my mind, he didn't do anything flashy offensively, but he made the plays that were in front of him. And he was very conscious of what he needed to do on his own end of the ice, his positioning, where he needed to be. And I thought he was much better in this game overall in his own end of the ice. And I think that that's where his focus is. The offensive side will be there when you come with, you know, experience and confidence. But I really liked what I saw in his game defensively. And that's where they wanted him to get better. That's where they wanted him to have a focus on down in Rockford. And I thought he was really good in that area.
Yeah, I think what Sorensen said yesterday about his game, his defensive involvement over the last few weeks specifically, has been his defensive game has been quieter. I think that's the kind of the label
right. Well,
that's
what I'm saying.
About.
It's right. Like you didn't notice anything there.
Yeah, in a good way.
And that's my point. That's a really good way. Because before you'd say, wow, he was way out of position. You know, I was kind of laughing a couple times with, you know, Lefshinov. Like, you know, he's down. He's the right defenseman. He's down in the left wing on a forecheck, and he's not going back. And, you know, they had guys covering up there. But, you know, those are some of the things that you saw with Korchinski where he just didn't, you know, read the plays maybe quite as the way that he should have. But I thought he read the plays, and he was quiet. You didn't notice him making mistakes, which means that he's doing the right things. You know, he's in position, and when he had pucks, he wasn't turning them over. He was making plays that were in front of him. So his execution, his puck management was good, and his positional play was excellent.
I think what Sorensen said yesterday, too, about Korchinski offensively, he said he's made strides, and when there's a play to be made, he makes it. Versus living to fight another day, like knowing which shifts to just live to fight another day and knowing which shifts to get aggressive. And I know small sample size tonight, but offensively it feels like he was good in that area too, like you were mentioning.
Well, he made plays. Like he didn't try, you know, and again, I compare him to Lefshinov because they're the same type of player. You know, Lefshinov makes a high-risk play in the third period as he tries to come down the left wing boards and do a backhand pass across the ice. Very few players in the NHL can make that backhand pass across the ice. It's just, it's a high risk play and you have to eliminate that. It was picked off quite easily. Transition comes back. Now you're scrambling in your own end of the ice. I didn't see those high risk plays from Korchinski. Did he do anything flashy offensively? No, I didn't see him like leading the rush or, you know, jumping into the play or anything like that. But I think that, as you mentioned, and Sorensen used the word quiet, because you didn't notice him doesn't mean he didn't do a good job. In my mind, you didn't notice him because he was doing the right plays and he wasn't getting caught out of position, because then I can, you know, those are things that all of a sudden there's a lot of ice in the defensive zone. Well, whose ice is that? Is it the left defenseman where he was playing? Is that, you know, those are things that I didn't notice in this game, which means that he was always in the right area of his position the way that he needed to be.
How about the overall age of the back end for the Blackhawks tonight? Like, I didn't think it could get any younger, but it did get younger.
It did get
Crevier was 23. Yeah. He leaves. Korchinski's in 20. Vlasic is 23 years old. He's the second oldest defenseman on the roster among defensemen that played in this game.
Other than Grandpa back there.
Yeah. Grandpa Murphy.
Grandpa Murphy. Papa Murphy.
A whole 32
Isn't
years
that,
old.
Wasn't that one of those little blue things?
What? Oh, the...
Papa Smurf.
The Smurf?
Papa Smurf.
Yep.
It was a Smurf, not Murphy.
Yeah. Smurfy.
Papa Smurfy.
Papa Smurfy.
You know, and I don't know when Martinez is coming back, but, you know, Connor had mentioned it that, you know, you like to have that veteran presence back there. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you brought in TJ Brody, and unfortunately for him, and I hate to see it, but, you know, he's been a healthy scratch. And now that the younger players are getting an opportunity, I can't see where he's going to get back in. Unless they end up sending some players back to Rockford to help out their playoff push. But, you know, the back end, I mean, my goodness, there's no team anywhere near the inexperience of what the Blackhawks' back end looks like right now. And, you know, you look at, you know, Korchinski is 20 years of age. Lefshinov is 19. You know, Vlasic, 23. Del Mastro, 22. Kaiser, 22. I mean, that's pretty crazy. And then the number where...
Yeah, what were you saying in the pregame? The Murphy, he's played in more games than...
More than all the other ones, double.
That's insane.
And for Connor Murphy, you know, he's a leader and a guy in there that comes into training camp. So he's a great guy to learn from. Martinez was brought in to be that type of player to help out the younger defenseman that they knew that would be around this year. And unfortunately, he's banged up a little bit right now. So you've got one guy that's got any experience in the NHL, and he's holding his own. Longest tenured athlete in the city of Chicago, and that says something.
Frank Nazar, I thought he was excellent. One of these days, he's going to convert on a breakaway.
He's going to figure it out. He's going to figure it out. But he's getting those opportunities, which is great. His speed is so noticeable out there, and he creates so much. And I think it was Teravainen who set him in on the last one. Just a real nice area pass where he knew that Nazar could use his speed and jump into that play and create that chance. And all of a sudden, like, things just happen, and he springs, you know, into the open. He's going to get more comfortable. It seems like all of a sudden, like, his hands get a little quick when he gets down low, and, you know, he kind of feels the pressure of the breakaway more so than he will as he moves forward. And he's going to get those chances just because he is that type of a player, that type of a speed player.
I tweeted out the video too on X, but in the final minute of the game, when before the actual empty net goal by Vegas, Nazar is below the goal line and hustles all the way back to Chicago's own blue line to prevent the empty net goal on the first chance. I mean, he was like the first guy back, and he started the farthest away from everyone. So he's a total gamer too when it comes to, like, his desperation to want to win, not just the speed.
Yeah, no, I love the way that he works, and I don't know where the Blackhawks had him penciled in this season. But he's earned the opportunity to be here, and when he got called up, he earned that opportunity to stay here with his play, with his performance. So, you know, you look at a guy like Nazar now, and I don't see him at any time in the near future, this year, next year, whenever, heading back to the minors. He's earned the opportunity. He has to keep it up, and he has to keep improving. But he does have one thing that a lot of players in the league just don't have, and that is the outright speed.
Last thing, I ran into Carrie, our girl, our organist. And she heard the angry organist, the angry music that we were talking about in the last post game show. We're like, wow, the
well,
organist.
You thought I didn't hear it, but you thought it was angry.
It sounded angry, but she goes, it was Pat Benatar. So that's what she was. I was like, well, that's way before my time. Maybe it was Troy's though.
Hit me with your best shot.
Is that it?
It was what?
Is that Pat Benatar?
Apparently not.
You're asking the wrong guy.
I
was singing Backstreet Boys karaoke on Wednesday night when DJ Oreo was here. You're asking me about Pat Benatar. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to.
You know what? That's my bad.
All righty.
How old are you?
We got
32? 4?
32, yes.
32?
Yeah. 32 going on 22. Oh, man. Is that enough?
I've had enough.
That's enough. He's had, Troy's had enough of me.
I've had enough of you.
I held him too long in the last post-game show. So you're dismissed. The Blackhawks fall to the Vegas Golden Knights 5-3 here at the United Center. We'll be back again on Sunday afternoon. Nice Sunday afternoon game. Hopefully the Hawks can get back into the win.
What time is that game?
I think it's a 3 o'clock game.
Yep.
Were you just testing me?
Yeah, you're saying an afternoon game. Tell them what time.
Yeah. Well, stay tuned later on in the postgame show, and I'll preview that game against the Utah Hockey Club. All right. I think I saw Ryan Donato talk to the media. Of course he spoke to the media after this game. We'll hear what he had to say on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN.
Bedard takes a pass to McKay in the center ice over the Vegas line. Down the left wing, drops it. McKay, left circle, right circle. Donato shoots the score! Hat trick for Ryan Donato! He's got the hottest stick in the league right now. A perfect setup from McKay from the left circle. And Donato accepts the pass and drove it in behind Hill. His third goal of the night, his 28th on the season. 3-2 in favor of the Hawks, and we've got a shower of hats here at the United Center.
Back here on the Blackhawks postgame show, Charlie Romeliotis here at the United Center. It was the Ryan Donato show for the Blackhawks tonight. Scored all three goals for Chicago, the first one in the first period, and then two goals in a span of 15 seconds in the second. You heard the Blackhawks PA announcer Gene Honda was still announcing the second goal when Donato scored the hat trick goal. And by the way, great call as always by our very own John Weideman. Let's go to Ryan Donato and hear what he had to say about this loss and his first hat trick of his NHL career.
Much rather it have been with a win, but still to get your first career hat trick tonight.
Yeah, no. Obviously, the win's most important, right?
Sure.
It's nice to, you know, obviously have that milestone. It's really cool for me, and obviously feel super blessed to have that happen. But, you know, still need a win.
Yeah. What did you like about what you guys were able to do tonight?
I think we generated a lot of chances, obviously, against a good team. You know, pucks going in, and that's good. But, you know, I think there's obviously a few things that we can clean up at the same time. But for us, you know, we're getting those chances. We just got to make sure we can do both things. We can't, you know, obviously score and then let it up the other way, or it has to be both, right? So, you know, it was definitely a good thing. Felt good, but, you know, need the win.
What's the adrenaline like to score on consecutive shifts and it could be a hat trick?
Yeah, no, I didn't even have time to really think about it, to be honest with you. Usually after, you know, I've had two a couple times, and you have time to sit after, you know, and think about, oh gosh, here, you know, I mean, you're thinking about the third, and this time I really didn't have time to think about it because we were right back out there, and then once it went in, I was, you know, relieved, obviously. It felt very, you know, it was a great experience and felt blessed, but, you know, like I said, it doesn't matter if you don't win.
It's 28 goals now. Is there anything surreal about that number?
No. I mean, obviously it's a privilege and an honor to, you know, get to that point, right? And I've had a lot of help from my teammates and coaches and a lot of people, but, you know, I want to help the team win, and, you know, I could score, but at the same time, you know, we were out there for a couple goals against, so you can obviously be excited about some good things, but for me, I'm a guy that, you know, sometimes has too much anxiety around the rink because I think about the negative things a little bit, and that's something I've worked on. But, you know, yeah, it definitely feels surreal a little bit, but like I said, it'd be a lot more surreal if we won.
Have you had a chance to have any communication with your dad? And if not, what do you think he'll be telling you?
I'm not sure. I'm definitely going to talk to him. I don't know if he's up now. I don't know if he went to sleep after the second period sometimes because it's late back home in Boston. But, you know, my mom both have helped me tremendously throughout my career. And, yeah, it was definitely very cool.
What happened on that last the empty netter?
Yeah, no, it's like I said, I'll be thinking about that tonight rather than the hat trick. I'll be thinking about that all night. But I just, you know, I see a play, a couple sticks, and, you know, I see a seam to Artie, and if he gets that puck, I think he's got a pretty good shot from the point there. And you know, where we were at in the game, we need to score, and that's the play I saw at the time. And, you know, if I look back on it, maybe I don't try and force a pass, and but I was making those plays tonight, so I thought that I could. And, you know, the guy made a good stick play, and it happens. I tried to hustle back and help have it not go in, but, you know, it's it's pretty hard not to do. It's a good league. These guys are good. They're going to put away all those chances. So maybe just a little bit more smart in the 6-on-5. You know, take your time, and that's just what I've learned from that today.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan Donato wanted the win, and he's going to be thinking about that empty net goal against more than he is the hat trick, although I imagine that was a very good feeling for him in the moment when it happened. The first of his NHL career. I think he's gotten a close a couple times earlier this season in empty net opportunities, but wasn't able to cash in. Up to 28 goals on the season, 58 points. So just for context, prior to this season, his career high in goals was 16, which was with the Seattle Kraken in 21-22. And his career high in points was 31. So he's on pace to almost double his point total and just completely blows past his goal total from previous 16 on pace, or right now has 28 on pace for north of 30. And the CHSN broadcast had put up since 2020 the most goals in a season for the Blackhawks. So over the last 5 years, it's number one, Alex DeBrincat with 41 in 21-22. It's Alex DeBrincat number two with 32 from the 2020-21 season. And number three is Ryan Donato from this year. And so he could flirt with Alex DeBrincat's 32 and potentially even surpass that with 9 games left. And so just a terrific season by Ryan Donato. I'm honestly running out of words to say about what he has meant to this team, both on and off the ice. Another guy that has been awesome for Chicago, really over the entire second half of the season, has been Ilya Mikheyev. Added 2 more assists in this game, was tied for the team lead in shots on goal with 4, tied with Ryan Donato, and also delivered 2 hits in this game, also had a takeaway. So let's hear what Ilya Mikheyev had to say about this 5-3 loss to Vegas.
How did you feel about the performance?
Yeah, like, we won't win, of course. Like, we need more, like, I don't know. Play not bad, but sometimes we just crack and this happens.
How'd you feel for Donato getting the hat trick and, you know, you helping them start it off?
Yeah, of course, when the guy scores like hat trick, it's good, but we want to win too, you know, like, and doing a huge part for us.
It seemed like as a line, you guys were creating chances. What do you see as a line today that was working?
I don't know. We just play first game together, you know. Like we need just some time. Of course, we have like few chances, good chances, but it still take time.
Is there anything that Vegas was doing that was giving you guys problems?
Yeah, Vegas is like huge experienced team, you know. Like it's feeling like how boys play, and it's a good team.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ilya.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Ilya Mikheyev. 2 assists in this game. He also had a breakaway. Gosh, he has had so many of those breakaway opportunities over the last couple months here with the Blackhawks. He had one in the second period when the Hawks were up 1-0. If he capitalizes on that opportunity, he could have put Chicago up 2-0. I think it was the very next shift or two when Mark Stone ended up tying things up to make it 1-1. And so it was a big swing there, kind of a 2-goal swing. But nonetheless, Ilya Mikheyev has been spectacular for Chicago in the second half of the season, and specifically his role on the penalty kill as well. His speed has provided a real threat for the Blackhawks in that area. All right, we got more to get to here on the Blackhawks postgame show. Anders Sorensen spoke to the media just a little bit ago, so we'll hear what he had to say on the other side of the break right here on 720 WGN.
Donato put a puck out to the high slot area, picked off by Stone, moves it to center ice to Howden, fires toward the empty Hawk net, he scores! That is the 22nd empty net goal surrendered by the Hawks this season. Makes the score 5-3 in favor of the Golden Knights. With 42 seconds left on the clock, the United Center begins to empty.
Back here on the Blackhawks postgame show, the 22nd empty net goal against for the Blackhawks, as you heard John just say. The Hawks have just 6 6-on-5 goals on the year. And we were talking about the plus-minus earlier and how those empty netters can kind of skew that stat. If you look at Connor Bedard's plus minus, so he was a plus one in this game. He's now minus 37 on the season. But if you just kind of eliminate the empty netters and the shorthanded goals against and just look at his 5-on-5 number specifically, but plus, or a minus 17 goal differential. So it's basically a 20 goal difference when you kind of eliminate all those extracurricular minuses from the equation. Unfortunately, the Blackhawks weren't able to get a 6-on-5 goal in this game. Remember how early they pulled the goalie on Wednesday against New Jersey, down by 2 goals with 4 minutes and 8 seconds left. Hawks make a push. They call the timeout with 1:48 left with Spencer Knight on the bench, but unfortunately aren't able to find the back of the net. Let's hear what Anders Sorensen had to say about this overall loss. I imagine he would be fairly pleased with the overall effort in this one.
All the hard work he's had this year, just nice to see Donato get that first hat trick of his career.
Yeah, yeah, no, it was. I mean, that line was really good today. I liked our game. Obviously didn't like the ending. Thought the call there in the end was, you know, questionable, but you know, I thought overall we did a lot of good things and created, you know, and really a team that's really good defensively, created a lot.
Talked before about how invested Donato is in this team. Like, how personally are you invested in seeing his growth this season?
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, for us as a staff, we take pride in that part of development. If it's a young guy or an older guy like himself, that's, you know, that's a big part of what we do here.
What do you think of the young blue line tonight, especially Korchinski coming back?
Yeah, he was good. You know, did some good things on retrievals. I thought he was had more poise with the puck, you know, so I think it was a good first step here coming back.
What do you see in the goal? What would you like to see from him? The second Vegas goal, what would you like to see from him there? Sorry, Scott.
The what?
Vegas goal?
Yeah.
The 2-on-1 seemed like Korchinski stepped up at the blue line.
He got caught outside the dots, yeah.
What would you like to see him do differently there?
I'd just stay patient, stay inside the dots, and let them come to you a little bit.
On that other odd man rush, was that similar at all with Del Mastro?
Yeah, we got leaking a little bit. Yeah, leaking outside the dots a little bit, and they're obviously a good team that can, you know, come with some speed. They're a good rush team. I think they're one of the top in the league right now. But I thought overall we did a good job of not giving them too much off the rush today.
Did you like what you were? I mean, Nazar had a few chances, and Mikheyev, and just the new line combination seemed to create some scoring chances.
Yeah, I really liked them, actually. I thought both of those lines were good. I think Frankie had 2 breakaways, Mickey had 2 breakaways. Obviously, Dono had the hat trick, but they created against a real good defensive team, and still I thought they were responsible defensively as well. I thought Nazar, playing head to head with Eichel all night, did a good job defensively as well.
What do you think of Kaiser? He seemed like he was as active as he's been in the defensive zone, and I guess what were your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I liked his game a lot. Yeah, really liked it.
This was Levshinov's 9th game. Is there any discussion on what happens with him over the weekend? Does he stay? Does he go back to Rockford? Or?
Not sure. That's not, you know, no timeline on that. Yeah.
Del Mastro with that stretch pass that shows some growth for him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he made a nice play there, obviously, and recognized. He played on the right side today, too. So sometimes we're on the right side. It's tough on those plays. You can get handcuffed a little bit, but I thought he handled that well. Made a nice play.
A loss is a loss, but with a young team going against a team like Vegas that's built to win a championship, are there things that you can take away positively from this game and look to build on with the younger guys?
There was a lot of positives. It just leaves you a sour taste in your mouth that you don't come out of here with 0 points, right? But again, I think if you look at the amount of stuff we created offensively against a really good defensive team, that's positive, but also the young blue line held in against a really good rush team and held their own. And yeah, there was lots of positives for sure.
All right, that was Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen. Sounded a little sour that they didn't come out of here with at least 1 point, and rightfully so. The Hawks played a very respectable defensive game. There were a lot of, there were a lot of odd man rushes, but I think that the Hawks also had some odd man rushes, so it kind of got into a little bit of a track meet on both ends in those kind of scrambly situations. But you know, you hold a Vegas Golden Knights team to 22 shots on goal, especially given the age of the blue line for the Blackhawks. Everyone except Connor Murphy, either 23 or below. I thought it was a decent overall game by the Blackhawks. Alex Vlasic had logged 18:28 of ice time, which is his fewest in a game this season. I think that has something to do with the fact that because Artem Lefshinov and Kevin Korchinski are manning both power play units, you're going to see Vlasic's ice time probably diminish just by a couple minutes because he had been playing in that role. Even when Seth Jones was here, he was kind of manning the second unit. And so it doesn't look like he's going to slide more into the shutdown defensive role, playing a majority of the 5-on-5 minutes. But it doesn't look like he's going to get much power play time moving forward as Artem Lefshinov and Kevin Korchinski are here. And, you know, inevitably Sam Rinzell also going to be part of the equation, at least for the long term. And so... and then last thing I wanted to shout out Ethan Del Mastro. Just a terrific stretch pass on Ryan Donato's first goal of the game. Just beautiful. You have to go back and watch it if you haven't seen the highlight. But I thought he was really good in this game defensively, but also that primary assist on Donato's goal. Just a terrific stretch pass for Ethan Del Mastro. A lot of young guys on the back end for the Blackhawks. All right, we got one more break to get to, and then we'll wrap up the Blackhawks postgame show on the other side of the break on 720 WGN.
Forsling. Now Forsling trying to go backhand, picked off. Barrett Hayton, he wants to go the other way. Maybe a two-on-one. Hayton to Durzi, scores! Sean Durzi, and he's tied it at one.
Tonight's next game preview is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. The Blackhawks will be hosting the Utah Hockey Club here on Sunday afternoon. A 3 o'clock game. I believe it is a best day ever game again here at the United Center. And the Utah Hockey Club, they've been in a tough three game stretch lately. On Monday, they lost to Detroit 5-1. And then they had a couple days off, flew to Tampa Bay, and got shut out by the Lightning 8-0 on Thursday night. And they followed that up tonight with a 2-1 overtime loss to the defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers. So they've been outscored 15-2 during a three-game winless skid. They're 9 points out of a playoff spot in the Western Conference, so their fate is pretty much sealed in their first season as the Utah Hockey Club. The last time these two teams met, March 7th, so just a few weeks ago, the Hawks knocked off the Hockey Club 4-3 in overtime. It was a Connor Bedard overtime winner that snapped an 8-game goal drought and a 7-game point drought for Connor Bedard. And in that game as well, Frank Nazar scored a penalty shot goal and became the first Blackhawks rookie to score on a penalty shot. Pretty sick move, too. Wish he would add more of that to that arsenal, because he's had quite a few breakaways this season for the Blackhawks. Had a few more tonight, unfortunately not able to cash in. But we'll see if the Hawks can channel the same energy that they had the last game against Utah. And then last thing, the NCAA men's hockey tournament kicked off yesterday, and the Minnesota Golden Gophers, they were upset by UMass 5-4 in overtime, which means the seasons of Sam Rinzell and Oliver Moore have unfortunately come to an end for them. Kind of happened in heartbreaking fashion. I think the entire bench thought it was an uncalled tripping penalty that didn't go called. Nonetheless, their seasons are over. We saw one of their teammates, their captain, Jimmy Snuggerud, had announced today that he was signing with the Blues. He's going to be reporting to St. Louis on Monday. So
I think all eyes now are when Rinzel and Moore could sign their entry-level contracts. I expect that to happen within the next couple days, and so I think the team is expecting that too. I don't know if they want to rush that decision, but I would expect Sam Rinzel and Oliver Moore to be joining the Blackhawks at some point here in the near future and add some more youth movement, inject them into the Blackhawks roster that has gotten significantly younger since the start of the season. So time will tell on when that happens, but that is something to monitor over the next couple days. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. That's going to do it for the broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our on-site reporter of Jack Heinrich, the one and only, and our production crew of Patrick Hennessy, flying solo tonight. They were led by our engineers, the Hall of Famer Paul Zerang here at the United Center, and our fearless colonel, Brett Jackson, back at the station. For John Weideman and Troy Burry, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 5-3 Blackhawks loss to the Vegas Golden Knights. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Sunday afternoon from the UC.